Welcome to our deep dive into the future of food. You shared this issue brief by the scientific panel for responsible plant nutrition.
Right.
And honestly, it's pretty mind-blowing, all the possibilities.
Yeah, it really lays out like a whole new way of thinking about how we feed the planet.
Yeah.
Like a paradigm shift.
Okay, so for our listeners, can we start with like the basics?
Sure.
What is responsible plant nutrition and like why should we care?
So think about it this way. For decades, the focus has been on just growing more food.
Right.
And we relied a lot on mineral fertilizers to do that. And while it's helped increase yields, it's also led to some problems,
right,
like nutrient imbalances, losses to the environment, and even like these hidden costs, greenhouse gas emissions from fertilizer production. Responsible plant nutrition is about looking at the whole life cycle of these nutrients,
yeah,
from production to consumption to recycling, like
yeah,
managing those nutrients the whole way through.
So it's not just about like more food.
No.
It's about better food.
Yeah, exactly. It's about the whole system.
Yeah.
And finding ways to make it more sustainable, more equitable.
So the issue brief mentions this challenge of like, how do we make sure everyone has enough nutritious food, but we're also protecting the planet at the same time?
Right.
That seems like a lot.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. But this brief suggests that responsible plant nutrition can actually help us get there.
Okay.
They actually have like a vision for 2040 where global crop yield growth, it outpaces the need for these mineral fertilizers. Nutrient waste is cut in half. Soil health is thriving.
Wow. That's a lot. But how do we get there?
Right.
The issue brief mentions like 9 key challenges.
Yeah.
That need to be tackled in the next 20 years.
Yeah. And a lot of those challenges, they're really tied together. Like increasing crop yields, for example,
yeah,
in areas with nutrient deficits, like in Africa.
This is something that stood out to me, too. Can you tell us more about why Africa is such a crucial focus for this, for responsible plant nutrition?
Yeah. So Africa has like a huge potential for growth in agriculture, but it faces some really unique challenges.
Go ahead.
Fertilizer use there is way lower than other parts of the world.
Huh.
And there's these vast areas where the soil is just depleted of nutrients.
Wow.
And that leads to lower crop yields and, you know, food insecurity becomes widespread.
And it's not just about calories, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the issue brief also talks about nutrient deficiencies.
Exactly. So many people in Africa and other regions, they just don't get enough of those essential micronutrients.
Yeah.
And that can have like really serious health consequences. Especially for women and children. You know, we're talking about things like stunted growth, weakened immune systems, increased risk of disease.
That's awful. So it sounds like responsible plant nutrition, it aims to address both, right?
Yeah.
The amount of food and the quality of the food.
Absolutely. It's about making sure the food is nutritious, contributes to good health.
So how does this new paradigm, like how does it work? What needs to change to make this vision, this 2040 vision, like a reality?
Well, the issue brief, it outlines 6 key actions. And it's important to understand this is a team effort. Policymakers, researchers, farmers, consumers.
So it's not just like scientists in a lab.
No, not at all. This requires a real system change.
Right.
A shift in how we approach food production and consumption. For instance, policymakers, they need to create incentives for sustainable practices.
Right.
Farmers need access to the knowledge and tools to manage nutrients efficiently.
And what about, you know, everyday people? What about consumers? What role do they play in this?
Consumers actually have way more power than they realize.
Okay.
By making informed choices, reducing food waste, supporting those policies, they can really send a message to the market.
So our choices at the grocery store, in our kitchens, it matters.
It really does. And that brings us to one of the most exciting parts of this whole thing.
Okay.
The potential for innovation.
Oh.
The issue brief highlights some really promising areas, things that could totally transform how we produce and consume food.
Okay, I am definitely intrigued. Let's dive into some of those innovations in our next segment.
So, you know, picking up on that innovation thread,
yeah,
one thing in the issue brief that really caught my eye was this green ammonia.
Green ammonia. That sounds like, I don't know, something out of a movie.
Right.
What is that? And how does that even fit into all of this?
It's actually a pretty big deal.
Okay.
So traditional ammonia production, which is like a key ingredient in a lot of fertilizers.
Right.
It takes a ton of energy to make and it produces a lot of greenhouse gases.
Okay.
Green ammonia, on the other hand, it's made using renewable energy sources, like solar and wind power.
So it's like a much cleaner way to make fertilizer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that could have a huge impact, like, on the environmental footprint of all of agriculture.
Wow.
The issue brief, they estimate that switching to green ammonia could cut those emissions from fertilizer production by, like, 80% by 2040.
80%. Okay, that's amazing. Are there any other, like, innovations that are that have you excited?
Oh yeah, for sure. The issue brief also talks about digital technologies.
Okay.
And how they could totally revolutionize plant nutrition.
Okay.
Like, imagine if farmers could get real-time data about their soil. The nutrient levels, weather patterns, even like the needs of each individual plant.
Wow, that's pretty high tech. Is this actually happening now?
It's still pretty early.
Okay.
But yeah, there are already farmers out there using these digital tools, sensors, drones, data analytics to, you know, optimize how they manage their nutrients.
So they can be really precise with the fertilizer.
Exactly. Reduce waste, minimize environmental impact.
That seems like it would be really helpful, especially in places like Africa. You know, where fertilizer is expensive and hard to get.
Yeah, absolutely. The issue brief actually talks about that, how this technology could really empower smallholder farmers in Africa, give them the knowledge, the tools to make good decisions about their nutrients.
Makes me think about how important it is to share that knowledge, you know, and build up that capacity. Like, it's not enough to just have these amazing innovations. Farmers around the world need to know how to use them.
Totally agree. The issue brief really stresses that. Setting up ways to transfer the technology, exchange knowledge, farmer-to-farmer learning, and tailoring those solutions to different regions. You know, there's no one-size-fits-all approach to this.
That's true. This reminds me of another interesting point in the issue brief. Closing nutrient loops.
Yes.
What does that even mean?
Okay, so it's all about circularity, sustainability.
Okay.
Right now, we're losing so many nutrients through waste, food waste in our homes, nutrient runoff from farms. Closing the loop means, like, recovering those nutrients and recycling them back into agriculture.
So instead of going to, like, landfills or into the water, we're reusing them.
Exactly. Okay. Composting food waste, treating wastewater to get the nutrients back, using manure more effectively, creating this closed loop system where, you know, the nutrients are constantly being reused, not lost.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
And I feel like this circularity could go beyond the farm too, right?
Absolutely. The issue brief talks about reducing food waste at home.
Mm-hmm.
Creating markets for, like, the byproducts of food processing. So instead of throwing out food scraps, you know, we compost them.
What?
Or use them for animal feed.
Oh, I see. So it's like recognizing the value of those nutrients all the way through, right?
Yeah.
Whole food chain?
Yeah, and finding ways to keep them in the system.
And that's not just good for the environment, but it also helps with food security too, right?
Absolutely. If we lose fewer nutrients and close those loops, we're making the most of what we have.
Right.
And that helps make sure everyone has enough to eat. Nutritious food.
It's amazing how all these pieces are connected. You know, it's not just about farming. It's about the environment, human health, creating a food system that works for everyone.
Yeah, you got it. It's a systemic challenge that needs a really big picture approach. Mm-hmm. Everyone working together.
Speaking of working together, the issue brief also talks about involving consumers in this transition. Why is that?
Because consumers, they really have a big influence on the food system.
Okay.
By making smart choices, cutting down on waste, supporting the right policies, they can send a strong signal.
So it's not just what we eat, but how we think about food.
Yeah.
How those choices affect everything.
Exactly. Every single decision we make as consumers, it has these ripple effects.
Yeah.
You know, by choosing sustainable food, we're supporting farmers who are doing things the right way.
Mm.
By wasting less food, we're saving those precious nutrients.
Mm.
And by pushing for policies that support sustainable agriculture, we're helping to create a food system that's more resilient, more equitable for the future.
This has been like a really eye-opening look at what responsible plant nutrition could do.
Mm.
I mean, the potential is huge, but it sounds like there's some big challenges too, right?
Yeah.
Maybe we can talk about those in the next segment. So we've been talking about all this amazing potential with responsible plant nutrition.
But like with anything, I imagine there are some bumps in the road, some challenges, right?
Yeah.
What are some of those? Like, what are the things that might get in the way of creating this more sustainable and equitable food system?
Yeah, no, you're right. There are definitely going to be hurdles. The issue brief, they even say, you know, changing habits, especially when it comes to something as basic as food, It's never easy.
Right, right. It's not just, you know, one person making a choice. It's like changing these whole huge systems. Where do you think those biggest challenges are going to be?
Well, I think one of the biggest ones is just the sheer complexity of the food system.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got so many different players, farmers, the people who supply the inputs, processors, retailers, consumers,
yeah.
Just getting everyone on the same page with this new way of doing things. It's a huge undertaking.
Yeah. It's almost like we need a whole new infrastructure, right?
Yeah.
Not just for the physical stuff, like, you know, growing the food and getting it to people, but also for the knowledge, for the collaboration.
Absolutely. Like, we need ways for people to talk to each other, share information, make sure the research, the best practices, they actually get to the farmers in a way they can use. And the brief also talks about the need for more investment in research and development, but like focused on finding real solutions for, you know, different parts of the world.
And all of that takes money, right?
Right.
Who's going to pay for all of this?
That's a big question. The issue brief really stresses that it's going to take both, like public and private investment. Governments need to step up and create incentives for these sustainable practices, support the research, and then the private sector needs to get involved too, you know, invest in these innovations, help bring them to scale.
So it's really not just about agriculture, is it? It's economics, it's politics.
Exactly. It's all connected. Changing the way we produce food, it requires everyone to be on board. You know, rethinking policies, putting sustainability front and center, and being willing to invest in things that might not pay off right away, but are like crucial for the long term, for, you know, making sure we can all eat, for keeping the planet healthy.
So as we wrap up here, I'm feeling kind of a mix of hope and also a little worried. I mean, the potential of all this is incredible, but the challenges are big. What would you say? What would you leave our listeners with today?
I guess I'd say this. The future of food, it really is in our hands. Every choice we make, whether we're buying groceries, making policies, doing research, farming the land, it all matters. If we embrace this new way of thinking, if we demand better from our food systems, if we support innovation and work together, we can create a future where everyone has enough to eat, nutritious food produced in a way that's good for the planet. We can create a future where the planet actually thrives.
That's a powerful thought. We all have a role to play in this.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for taking us on this deep dive into the world of responsible plant nutrition. It's been eye-opening, to say the least.
No problem. It's been great talking about this with you. I hope this conversation, you know, it makes people curious, makes them feel like they can actually make a difference.
And to our listeners, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing for a better food future.